Before we begin this episode, I want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Your support is the only reason that this podcast is up and running. I specifically want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons in the BBF BFF tier, and that includes Anna H, Nini, Kathleen, Marisol, Delia, Elizabeth O, Miranda E, Guadalupe F, Christian G, and Evelyn P. Y'all are really the best. Thank y'all so much. And again, if you want to help us out, feel free to support us on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link will be in the description. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
10, 5, 4, 3.
Sure. Yes, I'm like dying, but I mean, make me do it.
Drink water. Have a glass of water right next to you.
No, that's fine. Oh my god, I just drank coffee.
You're gonna drink coffee.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is Cassandra.
And this is
COVID Queen 9918.
And this is Ruben. You know, COVID believer.
COVID survivor. Is real.
No. And before anyone asks, these are jokes grounded in pain. Because guess what? One of us has COVID.
Yeah, guess which one? It's me. I'm sorry. It's me. And also, for the record, before any of you little bitches write a bad review, I'm sorry if I breathe loud because into the microphone right now because I'm recovering from COVID. So
yeah, those are like my anytime somebody's like they're breathing like in their podcast, I'm like they're so mad. Yeah, I'm just like, bitch, we both have like respiratory problems, and now one of us has COVID on top of a respiratory problem. So we just bitches who can't, that's the name of the podcast now, bitches who can't breathe. Yeah, Cassandra has COVID. Like, I don't even know. That's why we haven't been here, girl. She's been trying to recover. And
I'm recovering. And I am. I'm on my way out. So,
You know, hopefully. But you still tested positive a minute ago, so.
Yeah, I retested and I was like, I'm good. And then they were like, nope.
They're like, how long have you been dating your current boyfriend? And you've been like, 5 years. Oh my gosh, he's had COVID for 5 years. No taste.
I'm gonna fight you. Wow.
Just kidding. I stan Jose.
Stan. Okay.
Follow Eat the City on iTunes.
I hate you. Okay. Anyway, yes, that's why we've been gone. Well, first, let's rewind. The last time we recorded was right before Halloween, and then, or at least that we released it, and we were like, you know what, let's wait until after the election so that we can do a follow-up episode about the election and the results. And then, well, I got COVID, and I mean, here we are. But we were planning, I swear, you know, to follow up with the election, but shit happens.
And
so,
to be fair, it's not even like the election has had, like, the dust still hasn't settled. Like, that motherfucker Trump is barely, like, his team is barely suggesting the possibility of maybe conceding in the future date at some point far from now. That's where we are. He lost the election, Trump. But whether or not if he's going to continue the fascism is a whole other story.
Yeah, I mean, so do you want to talk about the election now and get it out of the way?
Do you want to talk about COVID or do you want to talk election first? How are you feeling? Well, I guess we always start with how are you feeling. So let's, how's COVID been treating you?
Oh, I feel like I'm being interviewed. Yeah, it's like a real person with COVID on the show.
Welcome back to Bitter Brown Femmes. I'm your host, Ruben, and I'm here with a real life COVID patient. And we're off. COVID patient number 250,001. How are you feeling today?
Yeah. I feel good. I mean, we're recording, obviously, because I feel better. So it's not like Ruben's like, get your ass up. Let's fucking record right now. yeah, like, I'm feeling better. I still have COVID, but I am feeling better. I'm breathing a little weird. So, again, excuse me. But I feel like, I guess what they consider mild symptoms. I don't know. I feel like I went through, like, a roller coaster of, like, the symptoms every day. Like, every day it felt like I had something different. When, it when wasn't, like, it consistent.
Yeah.
When so it was like I had
COVID. Like you were like, oh my god, I have COVID now.
So let's rewind because I don't want. First, I know all these bitches are probably like, wow, like you went out to the bar and you got COVID. No.
Okay? Let's make it clear. Cassandra went out to the clubs to get COVID, not the bars.
I went to Pockets, my neighborhood bar, to play some pool. No, you know I haven't gone out. I've been in quarantine obviously since like March. Haven't ate anywhere. Haven't done any of that. Thing was that my Luca's grandma got COVID and she believes she got it from the grocery store, but you know, regardless of where she got it from, she got Luca's dad, then he got it from her, and then I think he gave it to Luca, and because, you know, we share my son sometimes, like I think when Luca came back to me, he gave it to me. So it was like a chain reaction. So even though I didn't fucking go anywhere, I still fucking got it. And I think, like, it was kind of shitty because I was like, wow, like, I don't even fucking go anywhere. But I think that's a conversation of, like, I don't know, like, first, I feel like no one deserves to get COVID, even if you, you know, as much as we're like, well, you went to the bar. It's like, no, I don't wish that on anyone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone deserves to get COVID or we should wish that on people just because they went out. Like, I don't think anyone, I don't want to be like, oh, well, I didn't go anywhere and you did, so therefore you deserve it and I don't. Like, I don't think that. But it was shitty at first. I was like, this is what I've been trying to avoid for so long, especially with my son in particular. So, like, that fucked me up. Like, I was just like, wow, okay. Like, we ended up getting it anyway, and I was really worried about my child because he has, like, a lot of lung damage, and that was, like, my number one thing. I think when I realized everyone around us had it, we had to get tested, and I was like, if I have it, okay, but as long as my child is okay, like, it'll be okay. And thankfully, he didn't have any symptoms. So even though he was around all of us, he's been good, which is, like, the number one thing that made me happy, even though I had it. That was, like, kind of all happened on Halloween. So, like, that week, I was having, like, a burning sensation in my chest. Like, it felt like my chest was on fire, and I was, like, I was having breathing problems, but I was also, like, is this anxiety and is stress? Because his grandma got really bad at one point. She was in the hospital, and I was, like, freaking out, and I was, like, crying. It was just, like, a lot, and I was, like, is this COVID, or... Is this, you know, when you're like, is this COVID or allergies or the flu or stress or anxiety or all of them? So when I finally got tested a few days, because I had, you know, you kind of have to wait that period because it might not show up. And so anyway, a few days later, like when I got tested, I came out positive and I was like, oh, okay. So it was COVID. So yeah, so everyone around me just had COVID. Like everyone, even my family. Like, my sister and her family, my nephews, my niece, they all got COVID on a separate, unrelated thing because we don't see each other. That's another story. But I felt like everyone around me got COVID. So, yeah, I had, symptoms of, like, breathing, which I still have. And, like, this, like, weird, like, your chest feels like it's on fire. It's, like, ugly. And I have, like, a lot of really bad body aches. Like, I couldn't get out of bed because it was particularly my legs. Like, I felt, like, I couldn't even sleep sometimes because the pain was so bad. And I had, like, I lost my sense of taste right when my mom made me fucking gargle. I was fucking pissed. And
what is that? That's my biggest, like, question is, like, what does it mean to, like, you, what does it mean to put food in your mouth when you have to?
Yeah, so it? I served myself the gargle. And I, you know, I love potatoes. I don't know if you all know me, but I fucking love potatoes. And so my favorite part of the condo is eating, like, the potato. Anyway, so I'm, like, eating, and I put it in my mouth, and it tastes like nothing, but it tastes terrible at the same time. Like, I don't know how to explain. Like, I had to spit it out because it, like, eating something with, like, this weird texture, like a potato, but they're, like, you don't taste anything. But at the same time, it tasted terrible. I don't know how to explain it. And so then I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, maybe like the caldo just tastes bad. And my mom's like, no. So then I tried something else, like chile con queso that she had made. And then like nothing, like I couldn't taste anything. So anyway, the sense of taste is different for other people, because I feel like I've heard different people say like they've had it. Like my friend who also had COVID, even though they got it a long time ago, they're like, I still can't taste soda, or it tastes like perfume to me, even though that happened like months ago. So another thing people ignore about COVID is like, yeah, you survive it, but there's like long-term effects for some people, whether it's like lung damage or heart damage, or you lose your sense of taste, or just there's like so much that we don't know about the disease that people want to act nonchalant about it, like it's fine, everyone survives. And it's like, no, nobody, not everyone fucking survives, you ableist fucks. Like, that's like the number one thing I hate, when people are like, you know, when in El Paso they'll report the deaths and they're like, well, a lot of them had what's it called,
pre-existing conditions,
like when they pre-exist. And I'm like, why do you all think that sounds good? So like, because someone has these diseases or pre-existing conditions, that means like, you know what I mean, like they don't matter, like fuck them, who cares, everyone else is fine. Like, it's ableist as fuck,
yeah,
first of all. But it's so like, I hate when people say that, like, and on top of that, a lot of people have pre-existing conditions and we don't know it because we don't have fucking healthcare. So it's just, it's been, you know, a lot. And speaking on COVID, which I've been, if you follow my personal account, because I haven't been online obviously a lot, I've just been in bed watching novelas like a señora, is in El Paso right now, there's like a lot happening in regards to COVID. We got a big COVID surge like before Halloween, and now we're at the point where it's just like 1 to 2 in 30 people have COVID. So this is a reality for a lot of people in El Paso right now. So I mean, I've talked about it through our episodes during this pandemic, like, and it's not just in Texas, right? Like, a lot of, like, our government hasn't done shit. A lot of our states haven't done anything, but particularly in Texas, right? Like, big red Texas, like, there was never really a shutdown here. It's always been open, or, like, the most was, like, at like, there was, like, a capacity of, like, dining in at restaurants, but that doesn't mean anything. Everything else is still open. Everything is still functioning the same way. And that's because, you know, in Texas, they want to save the economy. So even though, like, we're, like, at record numbers, probably, like, I want to say, like, the worst, if not one of the worst cities right now in the country, they still refuse a shutdown.
Yeah, you surpassed New York a little while ago.
Yeah, we surpassed New York, and it's been shitty because I feel like there has been media attention now, but for a long time it felt, and it still feels that way, it feels like it's, when people report on it, like, people don't talk about the fact that we're a border city and that the majority of population here is Mexican-American, like, Latinx, living in poverty. Like, our poverty level is, like, really high compared to the rest of the country. A lot of us don't have healthcare. Like, this all means something. And it's like, I hate when people don't touch on that, where it's just like, oh, they're in Texas. And it's like, yeah, all of Texas is this way, but Texas is really big, and like border cities, because before El Paso, the RGV, which is the other part of the border in Texas, like they were going through the same shit. I think not as much as El Paso right now, but they were still going through it as well. And they had to fundraise themselves. Like, there was a lot of mutual aid happening a few months ago in regards to that. And so a lot of the border cities are just very discarded here in Texas, obviously. So that's been like a thing. And then our county judge here finally wanted to step up and called for a shutdown, like, around Halloween. And because our mayor's also Republican, so he hasn't done shit either. And so this county judge was like, called a shutdown, and instead of backing him up and like implementing it with him, the governor and the mayor and the Texas Attorney General like sued him. And we're like, no, you can't go against the governor, because these are the governor's orders for everything to be open. And so they went back and forth for a few weeks in court. And it's just like, really? Like, this is what y'all are doing, instead of like, someone took a step to like shut down. And then instead of like allowing him to do that, they all like, were like, no, you can't do that. Everything needs to stay open.
And one thing I want to add to that is that, like, all these Republicans and, like, quote-unquote, like, business owners who might not see themselves as Republicans but are like, don't shut us down because of the, you know, we need to save our business and things like that. It's like, the government has money to keep you in business. If it wanted to keep you in business, it would have sent you a check. Because it has that money. Because guess how much money and time it costs to do all this arguing, like, in the courts. That took money, girl. That wasn't, like, no $20 court fee. That was hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million plus, to, like, have these litigations, have these discussions. Take time from governors, you know, paycheck. Like, please. They have the time. They have the resources. They have the money to keep everyone home. But they do not do it. Somebody...
No, and that's exactly it. And I was... It was, like, right that day when the county judge implemented, like, that shutdown, which was, like, for 2 weeks or a week of just, like, shutting down non-essential businesses, which should have been happening. Like, that same day, they were, like, all on Twitter, the Texas Attorney General. And it's, like, y'all have time. Like, that's, yeah, and you're right on point with that. It's, like, instead of...
It was NBC News recently who said, like, it would take $20 billion to prepare us for another pandemic. And they were trying to, and then they spelled out the number, like, instead of writing 20 billion, they put, like, you know, 20 and then 90s behind it. And it was to be like a scare tactic. And then people were like, this is only 3% of the military budget. 3% of the military budget, bitch. 3%. Which means that the government can solve this crisis like almost 100 times over and still have enough money to do shit, right? But they don't do it because the state's primary concern is serving as like world police and keeping our military all around the world, right? Because we have bases everywhere. That's something that people don't realize, is that like when they say like go protect our liberties across, you know, wherever, what they really mean is go police other people. That's what our military does, right? They police our people in Korea and you know, Japan. There's, why the fuck is there a military base in Okinawa? Like, shit like that. Like, that's what your taxes are paying for. So stop protecting the government, you know, and start protecting each other. Like, let's think about that, bitches.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then amidst all this, like, you know, it goes back and forth between... Yes, which again, we've talked about during this whole pandemic on our episodes, like, yes, it is the government's fault, first and foremost, because of everything Ruben just said. Like, if they wanted to do anything for us, they would have. They wouldn't. They literally gave us, not even all of us, right? Because not everyone got a stimulus check. They gave some people $1,200. It's always almost going to be a year coming up in a few months that this whole thing has started, and they haven't done shit for us. And so... Like, at all. I mean, it's not surprising, but it's very infuriating, and it infuriates me that people, like, still defend the government. Like, they're just trying to save the economy, and they're trying to help us. You know, we have to bring a paycheck home, and, like, it's like, no, they don't give a shit about you. If they did, they would have implemented a shutdown and kept everyone safe by giving us money. Like, we probably wouldn't... COVID would still, I think, exist, obviously, but it wouldn't be this bad on the level, and not as many people would have fucking died if they did something, you know? And another thing is, like, in El Paso, like, there's that back and forth, too. There's, like, all these, like, small businesses and bigger, you know, I'm talking about small businesses because, like, the big chains, it's, like, not as much, right? But, like, small businesses here in El Paso that are, like, they've just been showing their fucking asses, like, being like, you know what? All right, I'm gonna shut down because I care about my community. I'm gonna take the county judges, when he had implemented that shutdown, a lot of the businesses were pissed. And then there was, like, a list of, like, I don't know how many businesses in El Paso that also wanted to sue him. It was this whole thing, and, like, right when they were like, oh, he can't legally do that, so let's reopen up again. Like, they refused to shut down, and, like, they you know, they do that whole, like, small business shit. Like, we can't survive, and it's, like... And it's weird because it's mostly been gyms, which is not surprising because a lot of the CrossFit gym bitches, like, don't have a fucking personality. And so they're all, like, Blue Lives Matter, too, on top of that, I've noticed. And so a lot of the gyms have just been, like, refusing to shut down. And it's like, hold up, like, don't y'all have memberships? So, like, if they already paid you for the month, why the fuck does it matter if you shut down for 2 months? Because there was this one gym who started so they refused to shut down, and they got fined for it. Because it's really confusing. Like, there's some days where the shutdown was implemented, and then there were some days when it wasn't, because they kept going back and forth over, like, who had the authority to do it. So everyone was confused. But anyway, there was this one day where they were supposed to be shut down, but they didn't. And so they got fined for it, this one particular gym, because they refused to shut down. And so they started a fucking GoFundMe and were like, please help us pay for our citation because we refused to shut down. And the owners are like rich Instagram personality model, whatever the fuck they're called. Like, in their pictures, they're all, you can tell that these bitches are rich. Like, they don't even need money for like this 1,000 whatever fine. And so I'm like, if like your members care about you so much, then they'll pay the membership for the month and that's it, and you can shut the fuck up. Like, I'm annoyed with like these small businesses where I'm like, yeah, I get it, you will need to make money, like hairdressers, like every, like, I'm just frustrated with the level of selfishness, because it's like, we've all had to sacrifice something. Like, you're not fucking special, you know what I mean? Like, you're not the only one who has lost something during this whole pandemic. Yes, it fucking sucks, but you're putting your business above people's lives right now. So it's like that whole conversation of like, there's like half of the people that want El Paso to be shut down, and then the other half are like, no, I need to work, and like, the government cares about my small business and all this bullshit. And it's just like, people that continue to like go to parties and go to bars that just clearly don't give a shit. I keep seeing like these tweets or like these posts that are like, oh, there was like this one that was like, is there like a COVID surge because the bars are open after 10 or because the government doesn't want to shut down something? I'm like, no, it's both. Like, why do you all try to like dodge accountability for yourself? Like, no one told you to go to the fucking bar. Just because the bar's open doesn't mean you need to be there. You know what I mean? It's like, take some fucking responsibility for your fucking self. And like, I think at this point with what's happening in El Paso and seeing so many selfish people like online who have gone to like parties and who like refuse to like stay home, like, I'm just like tired of these like, it's the government's fault posts, because it's like, yes, it is. And like, it's always going to be the government's fault, but that doesn't mean you need to go to brunch. That doesn't mean like you needed to go swimming with your friends at a hotel. Like, get the fuck out of here. And like, I want people to just take some fucking accountability for yourself. So that's just, it's just been a lot living through COVID, but like with everything that's been happening in El Paso. And then on top of that, you know, conversations about some of the practices that one of like the hospitals here has been doing at the University Medical Center in El Paso. When my son's grandma was in the hospital, for example, my friend who's a therapist was like, I hope she's not at UMC because, you know, they don't resuscitate after, like, telling me a lot of stuff. And I was like, that's ugly. And then shortly after, there was like this video that went viral of this traveling nurse who was in El Paso who went on her Facebook Live and talked about her experiences here and how she felt like the doctors weren't aggressively treating patients and just letting a lot of patients die that she felt could have survived if they had actually done more for them. So it was like kind of like a lot of medical negligence that she was talking about. And it goes back to this conversation of like being this population of mostly like brown folks, like Latinx folks, Mexican Americans at the border, because that definitely means something, and also poor, you know what I mean? And so there was like a whole conversation on that, of like that she was lying. There was a lot of people who were saying she was lying and she was trying to make the nurses look bad. And it's like, no, like, we need to direct this energy at UMC versus like this video of this nurse who was just sharing her concerns, right? Like, we need to be talking about like why they're not being aggressive enough. And like, you know, like, there are layers to that of like, yeah, they're no one's saying the nurses are letting people die and they're like terrible nurses. It's just like, I'm sure it's overwhelming. I can't even imagine, like, you can't save all of them. But like, to the level of what she was speaking of and what I heard from that hospital, it's like, nah, it's just like, that added a whole layer to that of like, you know, if this was like a white town, would that be happening? Then there was like this whole other conversation happening, which is like one of the really bad ones, that, you know, we have like 10 trailers to deal with, you know, dead bodies from COVID that are overflowing. And so the city started using prison labor, you know, they started using inmates to help at the morgue for $2 an hour, which is obviously exploitation and it's legal. That's like the level that we're at in El Paso, that we have to use inmates to help with this overflow of bodies instead of like implementing a fucking shutdown, instead of providing any fucking relief. Like, we're like jumping through all these hoops to just not deal with it. And so it's been a lot. A lot that has been happening in El Paso. And then, you know, on top of that, there's like a layer of xenophobia that I've talked about a little bit, you know, as far as like people were blaming people from Juarez for our numbers because they come over and it's them. And there was like these stories that the news was writing about how a lot of the numbers were high because it was like people from Juarez coming over and that ambulances were going to pick up people from Juarez to bring them here. And it's like, that's not even happening. But even if it was, like, what, it's just, it's been a lot. And I'm sorry if anyone got confused with all that, because like I was trying to keep it in order. But the point is, El Paso's going through a really hard time right now. No one's doing shit about it. And it pisses me the fuck off, because I know that, again, if we're in Texas, so I don't think that there would necessarily be a shutdown, because there's no shutdown in Texas anywhere. But there would definitely be a more urgency to do something if it was like a white majority town, or like if we weren't at the border, like if it wasn't such a poor city, you know what I mean? And I think that's what pisses me off the most.
Yeah, I mean, you are a victim of this administration's like unwillingness to do anything about this, right? You literally have fucking COVID. For me, I have seen a post where it's like, stop blaming people, like, it's not like people's personal. So the argument that I've seen from a lot of people is that like us blaming individuals is like, not us, but like when people blame individuals for like the crisis, it's like letting the government off the hook. And it's like, no, bitch, I am very much not letting the government off the hook. At the same, like, the government is very responsible for people not being able to stay at home, like, needing to work, right? But I also know that the people who have had to work are not the same ones who are at the bar. Mm. Not usually. Like, girl, my older sister has had to work from home this whole pandemic. And she had a quinceañera last weekend. And she's not the only one. Like, back in when I recently moved, but in my old living situation, that was a Latinx block. Like, pure, just everybody's Latinx. There was parties every weekend. Every single weekend. The only time when they stopped was, like, mid-March to, like, maybe the end of May. But after that, the parties resumed. Cada semana, like, every weekend, tamborazo. Like, straight up. You don't need this party. Like, you don't need this celebration. Like, what? At the time, my town was one of the most infected of the LA County. And, like, sure, a lot of it has to do with, like, a lot of essential workers. But it also didn't help that people were having these giant celebrations. And now that restaurants opened up, I'm just like, I have never seen these restaurants so packed. And maybe it's because they brought everyone outside to the parking lot or to the sidewalk, but everything just looks so full of people. And I'm just like, did you really need to eat Denny's out in the open? Like, and now I see these people, like these businesses, like putting these tarps in the outside. And I'm like, you do realize that defeats the purpose, right? I don't know if they do this in El Paso, but right here in LA, like, they'll have outside dining, but then they'll put out this, like, big tent over the dining because it's the wind. It's windy now. So it's like, that defeats the purpose of outside dining. Like, y'all are so ridiculous. There are just so many people who believe that COVID will not either not get them, or if it gets them, you know, they'll deal with it. Or worse, they don't care. Like, the worst part is that they think it's a personal thing and not a community thing. And that is capitalism for you. Because capitalism has us so wrapped up in the individualism that you don't see community. You don't see that your health affects your neighbor's health, affects their neighbor's health, and so forth, right? Like, and so now we are stuck in this loop where we all depend on each other, but we've all been so conditioned to not think about other people that it is impossible for people to be considerate, to stay at fucking home, and if they desire restaurant food, to just fucking eat it at home. Because the recent LA Times study found that about like 15% of COVID contractions were at restaurants. That's like one in every 10, please, like, I don't know. Like, this is not me, again, letting the government off the hook. They are the main culprits here. But I'm also not letting people off the hook. Like, did my sister need to have a quinceañera last week? No. She's getting married in 2 months, and she's having a whole-ass ceremony. Does she need to do that? No. And I have screamed and yelled at her the last few months, and nothing. She is an unmovable object. And there are so many people like her. So many people like her. That's why a lot of us are in the situation that we're in, because people are just like... And I honestly think it's a fucking trauma response. I think it's like people being like, not even a trauma response. It's a crisis response. You know how they have like fight, flight, or freeze? I think it's like one of those things where like, no, if I don't go out and live my life and go out and have Denny's and then go to a quinceañera after Denny's and then go to Las Vegas after that quinceañera, I'm letting the disease win. They're treating it like a terrorist that wants to disrupt your life, right? Like, remember, like, after 9/11, it's like, if we don't resume our lives, the terrorists win. And it's like, people have that approach to a fucking airborne disease.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And again, it's the result of capitalism. No, because they're fucking jokes. It's funny. And you get to laugh at it because you have fucking COVID, Cassandra.
It's like a lot of different people. Like, I feel a lot of it are those people. And then there's the... you know, the anti-science, Trump-supporting, racist Republicans who are just like, the government is trying to... This is, like, one that doesn't make sense to me when they post that, like, they want us to wear, like, face masks because they're designing this, like, face recognition, like, thing. And I'm like, how does that make sense if you're blocking your face? Like, they already have our faces. Like, I'm just... But, you know, these people don't have any... They're not smart.
I just found out about this.
They don't think.
Yeah, I just found out about this thing, this cult, online cult called the QAnon people, which are the people that were doing the whole, like, free the children thing that you were fighting against a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, like, them, and then I think for white people particularly, it's this thing of, like, never being told you can't do something, and it really pisses them off, and they're like, how dare you treat me like this? I am white. I can... go into the store without a mask and I can eat wherever I want. Like, all of a sudden they rebel against their beloved government when it's convenient for them. It's just like a variation of people. And then there's people who just don't care. And then there's the religious people who I feel like think they can pray it away. You know, I mentioned my sister and her family, like my niece, my nephew, her husband, like they all got COVID and it was like a church related thing because these bitches were still going to church. That was a whole chain reaction too. Like the pastor's wife ended up dying from this church that like I don't go to church anymore, but this was a church that I grew up in that my family still goes to. I don't, but I knew her since I was little, and so it hurt me, you know, because religion aside, like she was a sweet person to me since I was little, you know. And it's like because you all were still having services and someone had COVID and it became this whole chain reaction, like, that didn't need to happen. Yeah, like, people just think, like you said, it's an individual thing. Like, I see that a lot. They're like, well, if you don't want to get COVID, you can stay home. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. Like, I've been home since fucking March. Like, I quit my fucking job, I haven't done shit, and I still got COVID. I'm not blaming, you know, my son's grandma for it. I'm not blaming anyone for it, but it's like, people don't understand that it's like this chain reaction that happens, and your life affects everybody else's life, right? But yeah, like, it's like, people just... Americans. And it's, like, all over the world, but we all know it's fucking... this country's so fucking embarrassing, like... I can't.
Yeah, our fucking president got it. And we are...
yeah, let's talk about that. I feel like we haven't touched on this. I feel like we were waiting...
we were waiting for him, like, to crow. TBA.
Well, yeah, of course, absolutely. So this bitch got COVID, and it was a really happy time in my life.
This bitch is Trump. We haven't said the name. Some people are like, who's that bitch? Who got COVID? Canceled. Bitter Brown Femmes wish death upon somebody.
No, I thought we had already said their name.
No, we just call him, like, that bitch. Like
that bitch got COVID. yeah, Trump got COVID, and it was a very happy time in my life. I'm mad because a lot of us got excited and, you know, nothing happened. I feel like at least it fucked him up, and it was some really bad days for him.
Yeah.
That's all we can hope for. But he got, that was a weird time. Like, it was very confusing. I felt like I wanted him to die, and I was like, fuck yeah, he got COVID. And then the other half of me was like, nah, he doesn't have it. Like, this isn't real. Like, it's a trick. Or, like, they're lying to, like, obviously, like, the government's not transparent. So it was just a lot of emotions, but I wanted to believe in God at that time and put faith that he would take this terrible man away from the planet, but that didn't happen.
Damn.
So I guess God doesn't exist.
Faith canceled.
Millennia got fucking COVID. Who else? Governor Christie got...
Ted Cruz had a COVID twice.
He's had COVID throughout this whole
pandemic. Dude, COVID is homophobic and a Republican, because she's not killing these people. Bolsonaro got it, like...
Yeah, all these fascists. Yeah. The Prime Minister from Canada had it, too. The King or the Prince or some British bitch. Yeah, a lot of...
And that was at the beginning of, like, the election, like, debates with Joe Biden, who, like, I don't know if this was, like, a saving grace for Biden or not, because, like, he wasn't doing too hot in those debates. Like,
he hasn't been hot, period, since he announced. Even before he was like, the least, oh, we already talked about this. He was, like, the least, no one was fucking going for Biden. And then all of a sudden, from one day to the next, oh, Biden's in the lead. Okay, Democrats.
Yeah, it's just wild to see, like, centrists and, like, liberals really defend, like, Joe Biden won fair and square. In what world do you think that Joe Biden deserved the presidential nomination from the Democrats? Did you not see the same debates that we were seeing? And people were like, electability, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you only think Joe Biden was electable because the news told you he was electable. And that's the thing people don't understand about media, is that the media shapes what it wants you to understand. So because the media said Bernie Sanders is not electable, he's too radical, then you believe it, right? Because where were they getting that point of view from? What, they talked to their country cousin Puck, who was like, yeah, I don't know about that, Bernie Sanders, like...
I don't know about this accent.
Isn't it like a white Texan accent? I don't know. That's how I think white country folk talk. Like, the media shapes so much of Joe Biden's, like, getting the Democratic nomination, right? And he barely won. That's the kicker. He barely fucking won. Which, it means so many things. It means that the DNC is full of shit, obviously. The Democratic National Committee, they don't know what electable is, because this bitch barely got elected. It also means that, you know, white people just love white supremacy. Specifically, you know, white men, their voting stayed pretty much the same. I think actually a few white men, like, switched over to the Liberal Party this time around. But white women, 3% of them more voted for Trump this time around. White women...
Because even in the primaries, yeah, they were, like, the same. And the people were acting like, you know, the women's march took off, and the pink pussy hats, and all this fake feminist bullshit that happened after Trump. And it's like, y'all weren't doing shit. These women marches weren't doing shit. You all haven't been doing shit. Like, you'd rather, like, try to talk shit. Like, I know a lot of white women who would, like, come at me, like, on Facebook or Instagram when I would talk about voting or whatever. And I'm like, I know you're not talking to me, bitch. A white woman talking to me about voting? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, white feminists haven't done shit. I don't care how much they're like, oh, allyship burnout. From what, bitch? What have you done?
Allyship.
Like, y'all think it's cute when you're like, oh, this is like, my parents voted for Trump, but I didn't. Okay. And why are you telling us? Like, why aren't you fighting them?
Yeah, why aren't you whooping Nana's ass? Like,
I just, they don't do shit. It's all performative. And that's why fucking... will never make space for white people. Like, yeah, y'all can follow me, sure, whatever, but you need to shut the fuck up. Because clearly y'all aren't learning anything.
Yeah.
Like, you need to stop worrying about us and go collect your fellow white people, which you haven't done because you're scared. Like, it's easier for you to, like, try to just, like, blend in with people of color and, like, other marginalized people. And, like, oh, I'm listening, and oh, I'm gonna reshare this, than actually go and fucking fight your racist family.
Oh, you know
family.
What they like to do? They like to tag people of color to fight their family for them. I don't know if that's happened to you.
Oh, yeah. But... they're like, oh, in like DMs, yeah. They're like, well, my grandma said, blah, blah, blah. What do you think I should? I'm like, what the? Girl, bye.
Yeah.
I just. Let me breathe.
You got Cassandra's COVID acting up, white people. In case you didn't harm her enough.
All right. We need to talk about Planned Parenthood's telehealth services. That means Planned Parenthood services over the phone. So if you don't feel like sitting in a waiting room right now, Planned Parenthood has got you covered. At Planned Parenthood, you can get high-quality, affordable telehealth by phone or video. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it. When you're ready, book a virtual appointment at plannedparenthood.org/BBF. That's plannedparenthood.org/BBF. All right, y'all. And now we're going to get back into the show.
Exactly, because we know COVID is racist as shit. Oh my God. It is racist. COVID is racist, attacking black people and like Latinx people more than the white.
Yeah, facts. That's what fucking, like, es lo que me caga. Like, I don't even know how to say that in English. It's what shits on me. I don't know.
Got me fucked up
is that, like, y'all spend all summer bothering people of color with, like, what reading list? What do you think we should do for this moment of civil rights?
What is it? I read White Fragility by this white woman who makes millions off of saying what the fuck we all say online every day.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. What's her name? Robin DiAngelo? Yeah. Like, get the fucking shit out of my face. Fuck out of here. White Fragility.
Can you clarify this point that people get thousands of dollars, specifically white people get paid hella money to explain, but I need you, a person of color, to explain it to me slowly and patiently and with lots of love. Then I just need a hug after you explain to me why racism is bad so I don't vote for Trump again. Fucking, like, that's why I don't have fucking patience, because what, we waste our time explaining everything with patience, or, you know what, I'm not even gonna front, I've never had patience for white people. I've always given them a finger. I used to not be this bitch. And even like a year or two into having an online platform, I was still baby people. But after that, I was like, why? What are you doing? Like, obviously, you're not going back to your people and being like, fellow white people, the brown bitch gave me the good word. Stop being racist. Like, obviously not, because y'all voting patterns are getting worse. Like, y'all are holding even tighter to white supremacy, right? So you're just like wasting, you know, brown and black people's time. Like, that is...
without paying us, also.
Straight up.
They don't. One time I was fighting this white bitch in my DMs and turned into this whole, like, me explaining all this shit to her, even though I've already fought her online before and I didn't want to argue with her, but I was like, you know what, let's have this conversation then, you know? And I was like, also, you should fucking Venmo me for having this conversation with you. Did she fucking Venmo me? No. After I specifically told her to Venmo me, not even fucking $5 for a coffee, you know what I mean? And it's like, I know you have money, bitch, you're a reporter, but you're coming to me to explain shit to you, and you can't even fucking Venmo me. Yeah, we do all this shit, and, like, this conversation me and Ruben have, and it's like, I, you know, during this whole thing, I deactivated before the election, because I was like, I'm tired of y'all harassing me every time I post something about Biden, every time I post anything critical. Like, I don't even want to be online during this election, because y'all are going to blame me. Like, I'll just wait, and then obviously get COVID, so I was like,
yeah,
whatever, you know? But I reactivated because I wanted to let people know what was going on in El Paso. And then, like, the first thing I post that's a fucking joke, people started attacking me, and I'm like, I don't even get paid for this shit. And it and it's like, I don't need to get paid. Like, I want to do it. That's what I do. Y'all don't give a shit. It's like I'm speaking into a void and I get stressed over nothing.
Yeah, that's another reason. I mean, I haven't tweeted, posted since the election, really. And it's because things have gotten to a point where, like, if you critique Biden, the liberals come for you. And if you critique Trump, the liberals and the leftists.
The hardcore leftist, communists, whatever, are like, they're both the same. You're so, like...
you're such a liberal. And I'm just like, what in the world? I'm just gonna shut up. I don't get paid for this. I'm actually losing money by...
yeah, we don't get paid for sure. Yeah. I'm losing money. I'm losing... like, I'm putting my, like, giving myself anxiety, stressing myself out, like, for what? That's, like, when white people, and it's particularly when, like, I try to tolerate it more when it's, like, my fellow Latinx people, because I'm like, okay, this is my, my community, and I feel like, you know, I want to have this conversation with you, or, like, and, you know, let's go somewhere. But when it's white people, I'm like, who the fuck are you? You know? Yeah. Like, coming on my fucking page and, like, demanding something from me. Yeah, especially during, like, this whole Trump situation.
Especially the fact that you got COVID and people are still out here trying to fight
you. And you know what? You know what, liberals? I didn't fucking vote for Biden. Okay? I didn't fucking vote for him. And I don't fucking regret it either.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck, like, I also did not vote for Biden.
I didn't. So y'all can kiss my ass.
They're gonna be like...
And then there was, like, these, all these, like, posts that were, like... And this is the thing. Like, after when they were, like, Trump... I really, really thought Trump was gonna win.
Yeah.
Like, I think in my mind, I mentally prepared myself for that, because as much as I didn't want that to happen, I was like, I am going to be very real.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real. Like, if it happens, like, everyone's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's like, we're going to keep doing the same shit.
People just revealed maybe their asses more... and showed that they weren't doing shit to begin with.
Yeah, when you're asking, what are we going to, what do you mean, what are we, we're going to keep doing the same shit, but maybe just be more militant and more organized about it, you know? So it wasn't that I was like, oh, it's fine if Trump wins. Like, no, but I understood, like, the work continues, or, like, preparing myself for that. So I was really surprised when Biden won. I really was. Yeah, there was, like, this, I'm not going to lie, there was, like, a sense of relief because Trump lost, right? And I think that was a lot of people's, for me, it wasn't like, yes, Biden won. It was like, yes, Trump lost. But a lot of people... we're showing their asses. All of a sudden, everyone's like, loves Biden. When at the beginning, everyone's like, no, we just gotta vote for him. I know he's terrible. I know he's a rapist. I know he's a racist. Like, we'll just talk about that later right now. You know, we don't really care about him. And then all of a sudden, everyone, like, fucking loves Biden. And I'm like, what? I'm like, there's a difference between saying, like, oh, yeah, like, fuck yeah, Biden won and he's great and let's celebrate Biden winning. And there's a big difference in, like, Trump losing. Which was what I was,
yeah.
Anyway, but I'm just, people are fucking hypocrites, you know? A lot of people are like, now we can critique Biden without people thinking we're Trump supporters. I'm like, no, they're still going to think you're a Trump supporter. They're going to be like, oh, so you wanted Trump to win, or like, oh, so you think we're better, you know what I mean? And they're just so fucking boring. Like, they're so predictable, yeah. That now they're going to be like, oh, so you wanted Trump to win. Like, okay. I'm fed up. I feel like so much has happened in this whole year. Like, we're talking right now about what happened, like, this month. Does it feel like the election happened this month?
No.
Because it did. I know. It's so wild.
Yeah, I am. This is, like, the longest March of my life.
We're still in March.
Just like Election Tuesday was like the week-long Tuesday. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah. That was a lot, too. I forgot about that. We had to wait like 5 days. Oh my god, it's so funny. It's just like this year, we're in hell. I feel like we all died already. This is,
yeah,
just hell.
Well, to me, like, I always felt like hell was going to be like repetition. Because I think that's my person. And I just...
Yeah. No, for sure.
And so this is definitely one of those times where I was like, oh my god, this is hell. Like, for real. And the worst part is that we're not even done yet. Because, you know, what's his name? Trumpudo. He still hasn't, like, been like, all right, y'all, I lost. No, he's still like, I'm going to tell my dad. He's going to give me the trophy.
His tweets where he's like, I won by a lot. I'm sorry, and all his tweets are always blocked. It fucking kills me. Yeah, we're not even done. We're not even, like, and now Biden's, like, fundraising for us to pay for his transition, and I'm like, girl. we've had enough.
He's hella GoFund. Like, we have to pay for a new president. Like, we forgot to cancel the free subscription, and now we gotta pay for it.
I fucking hate it here. And people are like, this is normal. And I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, the people that need to be paying, if it's a thing, right? If it's a thing, donors need to be paying that shit. Why the fuck are you asking on Twitter for people who have been jobless this whole fucking year to pay for this fucking transition? Ask your fucking donors.
Ask the, like, fucking oil companies that make you not want to support the Green New Deal. ask your fucking, the people invested in weapons, right, that have you, you know, being concerned with keeping our military well-funded. Who else you gotta ask? Ask the police that you love with their big old budgets. Mm-hmm. Like, who else?
Oh my God, you know what was killing me? The people were like, when they announced that Biden had won, and they were like, oh, all these, like, police, I saw a police officer crying in his car. And I'm still confused. I'm like, why are cops scared? Biden loves cops. Like, why are you...
Why because you they're fucking ignorant, what? And they love Fox News. Like, somehow, what fucking makes me laugh so much is that when Bernie ran, they were like, this big, scary socialist. Like the liberal pundits were like, if we have Bernie run, he's gonna lose because they're gonna, you know, do scare tactics on people and have everybody believe that he hates capitalism and that America's gonna become socialist America. And so that's why Bernie didn't run, right? And so then the same shit ended up happening to Biden. That's one of the big reasons people say he lost Florida, because Trump led a misinformation campaign in Florida, particularly in the Latinx areas. And they had them believe that, like, Biden was this big, scary, like, communist, right? And people ate it up, right? That's why you had all the Latinxes vote for the Cubans over there. I do know why you Mexicans voted for Biden, because of religion and white supremacy, and religious white supremacy, because, come on, these things are often the same thing. And, of course, by white supremacy, I also mean, like, anti-blackness. There was a poll that was released, I think it was NPR, that said that, like, there was a big spike in Latinxes registering to vote after the Black Lives Matter protests took off, and that a lot of them, a big majority of them, were in the Republican Party. Mm. In the Republican Party.
And this is, for sure, and this is, like, the thing I hate about you bitches, your voting bitches, that are like, everyone go vote, and that's all you say.
Yes,
that's all you fucking say. Go vote. Go tell them for who, bitch. Like, what do you mean? Like, all these celebrities, go vote, okay? And for who?
Yeah.
I need to know who the fuck you're voting for. And it's like,
they're just reminding Republicans to sign up.
Yeah, a lot of people think, like, if I register all these, like, Latinx folks to vote, that means that they're automatically not going to vote Republican. And you, people need to stop lying to yourselves. Like, just because you're from a marginalized group doesn't mean anything. Like, when you're registering people to vote, you need to actually be having conversations with people about these things. Not just like, oh, go vote, everyone. Make your voice heard. Oh, okay. And, like, in what direction are you leaning people? Are you just telling people to vote? Like,
they're like, this celebrity just told me to make my voice heard. And I really actually hate people of color. So I'm going to make my voice heard and tell my politicians.
No, that's exactly what it is. I hate all of those. Like, I would make a better electoral activist bitch than a lot of you.
Yeah,
okay? Because I would actually, I'd register people to vote, and I'd have conversations with people, and I'd tell them how to vote physically and how, because some people don't even know how to vote. You know what I mean? Like, they've never voted before. They don't know what's going to be on the ballot. Like, they don't know anything. And all you bitches do, your activism, not only is it, like, basic as shit and wrapped in electoral politics, it's, like, not even deep in electoral... You're not even doing anything for voter suppression, number one. But on top of that, all you're doing is screaming vote with your little sticker. You're not even saying who you voted for. You're not even saying why you voted for this person. Like, it's, like, so lazy. It's so lazy and performative to me. But, yeah, and a lot of Latinx people voted for Trump more than they did in 2016, and I know specifically in El Paso the number of Trump supporters went up, even though, like, the majority of El Paso's a blue, it's always like a Democratic city, right? But I honestly feel that if we don't do anything, and I'm talking about El Paso specifically, you know, community organizing here, like, it's going down this, like, path to red, like the rest of Texas, because there was I don't know the numbers right now, but there was a jump in, like, the people that voted for Trump than in 2016. And visibly, like, I've seen it in person by, like, the presence of Trump supporters in El Paso. Like, I've seen it at protests. I've seen it online. And it's scary. And, yeah, it's, like, still the majority voted for Biden here. But it's still, like, scary knowing that there's this big right-wing presence here and that it's growing. You know, the only thing I feel for me during this electoral thing year is like, I honestly thought Trump was going to win, but I was like, at least we're going to win locally, because I'm more invested in like local, like city council and mayor, right? And in El Paso, it's always like white men, right? Republican men or white centrist men that are mayor. There's never been a Latina mayor in El Paso. There's been like two Latino men in all of El Paso's existence. Even though, again, our population is like 83% like Mexican American, Latinx, and we're at the border, like there has never been, like it's always run by white men, right? And so there was a Latina who was running for mayor, and obviously, you know, she's not a savior. It's not like she was going to come here and save us and shit, but I was like, this is who we need to vote for to go into this right direction, right? And I was like, if Trump wins, like at least we're going to win like locally. And it turns out it was like vice versa. Like locally, it was a hot mess. Even on city council, there was a bunch of like cops and like pro cops that got voted in. And so now for me, I guess having hope in, if I don't know if hope is the right word, but it's like, I don't know. I just feel like once this pandemic is over, and hopefully it ends soon, it's not going to end tomorrow, obviously, but we need to fucking organize. Like, that's all this has said to me, especially for me locally. Like, even though Trump, let's say Trump, you know, leaves and Biden takes office, like, Trump left behind a lot of these radical racist fucking ideals. Like, they're not just going to go away. These people are still going to be around. They're still going to be wearing their fucking MAGA hats. They're going to be angry. You know what I mean? That, like, Trump won. And even though they're online saying, like, oh, even though we lost, we didn't burn down the city. And it's like, no, you don't burn down cities. You kill people. And you incite violence. Like, it's a different kind of violence, but you're still
What's
violent.
What's the murderer's name? And that's Kyle not going to go away. Rittenhouse or some shit like that?
Kyle Kittenhouse, whatever the fuck his name is. Yeah, like, everyone's like, he should run for president. He's a hero. Radicalizing young, especially young white men, little gringuitos out here, like, that's not going to go away. And it's scary that, like, we can't let people go back to, like, it's fine. Everything's fine, because it's just, what's going to happen in 4 years? You know what I mean? Someone's going to come that's worse than Trump. They're gonna prop somebody else up to get revenge. You know, like, we don't know. And it's like, we can't let people go back to, like, complacency and, like, being content and being like, oh, it's fine, everything's, like, fine now. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not fine. We need to keep the momentum going, you know what I mean? So anyway, that's the only thing that I feel like I'm taking away from the results of all this shit.
I honestly think our fight's gonna get a lot harder. Straight up, like, and controversially brave. I think that people are gonna get really complacent, and we're already seeing it. Like, we're already seeing people being like, the fight is almost over, or like some people who are not even aware that Trump hasn't conceded are already like, you know, we won, that's it. And it's like, the thing about liberalism is that it makes these social problems, it still perpetuates them in a more sinister way, right? So, unfortunately, like, things are still going to be bad on the low, and I'm afraid that people are not going to gather in the same way that they did against Trump, right? And at the end of the day, like, these white supremacists are still around, right? Like, and because Trump already planted the seeds of, like, doubt, they are still going to be with, like, Biden didn't, you know, he stole the election or something like that, right? Like, there's already a movement of that, of people believing that this was rigged in Biden's favor. And they're going to continue questioning the legitimacy of his presidency. And that's not going to go away, right? These, you know, white supremacist kids, right, are still going to be here. Like, these online platforms that breed all these white supremacists, like, incel men or whatever, these groups, but they often mingle with one another. Like, that's not going to go away. Like, 2020 was the year with the fewest school shootings. And guess why that was? That's because nobody was able to go to fucking school, right? Like, that was one headline that I recently saw, that it was, like, so fucking shocking. Gun violence is not going to go away just because Joe Biden is in here. So, like, what are we fucking doing? Like, enough with this, like, liberal style type of quote-unquote activism. that is just for showmanship, like the Women's March, right? Like, they, every time people are like, the Women's March is like, you know, we're fighting for our rights, or I always docked it, and the women, particularly cis white women, are get on my ass about how, like, you don't know what it's like to need a Women's March, like, this is us for our rights, and blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I was like, yeah, it's a bunch of white women, like, fighting for their rights to oppress other people, like, because that's what it ended up being, right? Like, because obviously there was no positive impact for that, because of more white women voted Trump this time around. So what the fuck are people gathering about, right? I'm honestly not hopeful. I'm relieved that Trump lost, but I am not hopeful. And I think those are two emotions that I've been wrestling with lately, on top of, like, realizing, or not realizing, but being affected by, you know, you're now my third close friend that has gotten COVID. This is not going to end all of a sudden. All this bigotry and anti-science rhetoric and conservatism, like, and liberalism, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a wild thing. Because, I mean, you know, we go back to, like, white supremacy has always existed. All of this violence, everything has always existed. It was just amplified, I think, with Trump. But I hated, you know, when people are like, he's the worst president we've ever had. I'm like, really? He's the worst?
There was slave owners.
Like, there haven't been worse ones before. There was, like, little, okay. but you know what I mean? Like, I think it's still, even though it's always existed, I think he brought it to the, to a lot of people's, like, you know, that acted like it didn't exist for some fucking reason. But it still, like, amazes me how much he was able to do in 4 fucking years. Like, that those seeds were always planted, you know what I mean? But, like, the way that, the like, in 4 years, like, everything was able to just change so dramatically is scary. And it sucks because even though he was able to do all that in 4 years, it's gonna take even longer to undo it. We're not just talking about 4 years, we're talking about the whole history of the U.S. We can't undo it. The United States has never acknowledged any of the shit as much as they say they have. Like, let's say, for example, slavery. Like, where are reparations for slavery? Like, we haven't even had, no one in the government has even wanted to have that conversation. The United States just doesn't want, there's nothing to expect. That's why we just need to burn it. Just, it all needs to come down. You know, when we're talking about, you know, we were talking about, like, the Supreme Court, and everyone's like, expand the Supreme Court, and I'm like, no, abolish the Supreme Court. Like, language fucking matters. Like,
let's talk about that. If it came down to it, yes,
yeah, like, if it came down to it, for example, yeah, sure, okay. Like, if this is the thing, though, the Democrats are not going to expand shit. Even if they could, they just say shit to, like, people on Twitter, so let people on Twitter be like, yeah, the Democrats are going to, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And, like, when it comes down to it, the Democrats don't do shit. So even if they could, they wouldn't expand it. But let's say there was an opportunity to expand it. Would I oppose that? No, obviously not, right? But that shouldn't be the goal. The goal shouldn't be to expand it. It should be to, like, fucking get rid of it. Why does everybody's rights rely and rest on, like, what is it, 9? Yeah. I don't even know. 9 fucking
who
people.
Who are not elected.
That when one of them dies,
are
not elected.
Who are not elected, elected and are just chosen, anointed. They're, like, essentially knighted. They're, like, the president's, like, you know, Arthur's court.
Best friend,
right?
And shit.
That's fucking monarchy, essentially, right? Just elected by the president, and we never get a choice.
And it's like a lifelong thing. It's not even like 4 years. Like, it's like you're in that shit for fucking life, and we have to wait until one of you bitches dies. So it's like,
how is that legal?
Why are we expanding this? Like, it should, like, no, it needs to go. All of it needs to go. But when we're talking about the Supreme Court,
oh,
it needs to fucking go. Like, why did everyone go into a panic when Ruth, whatever, what's her name?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I hate that bitch. Let's have a conversation. Because all the liberals were losing their mind, like, pobrecita abuelita Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's gonna replace my abuela Ginsburg? And I'm just like, first of all, bitch.
RBG. Or
RBG. The notorious RBG. Posting pictures of her with that glove and shit. I'm like, you know which one I'm talking about, too.
Yeah.
It's like a see-through tela glove on her hand. Yeah. And she's supposed to be like, bad bitch vibes. Yeah. And I'm just like, girl, you have dead bitch vibes. Like, let's talk about that. Like,
Oh my God.
Look, I don't even know where to start. Because let's talk, she was, what, 89? Why does an 89-year-old have this high power position when that woman was barely making it up and down those stairs. It was a known record that she would fall asleep during hearings. And people were just supposed to ignore it. This is not even me trying to be funny. This is like facts. Why does this 89, almost 90, basically almost 90-year-old, she had lived a century essentially. Why does she have such a high-powered job? Why didn't she pass it on under a liberal president if she really gave a fuck? Because she had an opportunity. Obama wanted to replace her. He was like, hey, girl, you're about to die, yo. And she was like...
Well, people were like that they wouldn't approve Obama's recommendation. And it's true. They wouldn't have, right? The Republicans, they didn't. I think they turned it down or like let's say they wouldn't have, right? Because everyone has to agree and shit. But it's like even the fact that she didn't want to, she specifically said, there was something that I quoted where she specifically was like, no, like they're going to have to deal with me until I die. Or
egotistical.
Egotistical shit. Because that's what that is to me. That means that you don't care, that you'd rather, it's like this power trip that you have. Like, I'm going to be here until I fucking die and you're not going to get rid of me. Versus like thinking like, hey, maybe I've been doing this for a fucking long time. Maybe I should step down and let someone else. You know what I mean? Like.
But you want to know the kicker?
I really think
that bitch thought that Hillary Clinton was going to get nominated. And she was like, let me let my fellow, me paisana, my fellow white bitch, like, find my replacement instead of this black man.
No, absolutely. And then there was a lot of things that she did that were so anti-Indigenous. They were so... what she said about Colin...
Kaepernick. She recanted when there was, like, outcry.
She recanted, yeah. But she still said it.
She said that he was disrespectful and there was no space for that. Like,
she said it was stupid. She straight up said it was stupid.
And then with the Indigenous folks, like, she essentially ruled against... I think it was in Oklahoma. I forget where, but Indigenous people had won their land back, and she was like, "Nope, fuck this."
And this was one of many. Like, I didn't think we were going to touch on her. If not,
oh, I didn't think I had forgotten. It's just been such a long time since we recorded that I forgot. Yeah. I was mad about that.
But you can look up. Yeah, she's done a lot of fucking shady shit.
Yeah, there was also reports about how she, like, in all her time, there was never like a black assistant or a black staff member in her staff. Like, in how many decades, how long was she fucking there? That's the problem with idolatry. And, like, liberalism leads to idolatry. And I've been saying this for years now. And I even made a video about it when it came to AOC. When liberalism tells you, like, oh, look at this, like, you know, strong female, like, who got into the Supreme Court. You know, even she had to fight for it in the 60s. They create this idol so that whenever they may do some, like, real fucked up shit, you can't judge them because they... are untouchable because she's the longest reigning female Supreme Court justice. People have to wake up to that because that's what's going to happen with Kamala Harris. People are going to be like, she's the first vice president. How dare you come at her?
You're anti-black.
Yeah, or you're misogynist.
Yeah, if you say anything about her, you're anti-black.
You know, anti-Asian and so forth. Like, no, bitch. Like, sure, I'm not saying that some people might hide their critiques behind those bigotries, but... not all of those critiques are coming from that space, right? Especially when they come from folks who share her identity, right? Like, people need to wake up to the fact that, like, liberalism and this idolatry, like, that is part of the problem, too. Because that makes you afraid to critique liberals. So that's why they end up getting away with everything. They almost lost this shit. Yeah, they almost lost this fucking election. And they did lose a lot of seats in the House of Representatives. That isn't as, like, controlled as it used to be. So, like, it is a signifier of this loss of control that the liberals are having, right? Because they are essentially become light Republicans. Or they've always been light Republicans, but people are not falling for their shit anymore.
Yeah, so instead of blaming, again, non-voters and third-party voters, you know, blame the Democratic Party. Like, people are tired of their shit. They're not... There's a lot of us who are, like... Half of me, I'm not gonna lie, like, before the election, like, a few days, like, I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'll just vote for Biden, like, you know, I'll suck it up this time, and, you know, I'll fucking do it, what were y'all bitches saying, I have too much pride, or whatever, I'll swallow my pride, and then I'm like, I can't, and it's not even the single thing, it's just, like, I can't, I don't believe in, like, it's not even that I like Biden. It is that Biden's a piece of shit. But for me, it was more like, why am I going to keep giving my vote to the Democratic Party who have, like, I kept thinking about how they haven't done shit in these 4 years. They haven't done shit for us. They haven't stood up to Trump. They didn't do anything to stop him. They barely wanted to impeach him, barely. And they barely did anything about that. Like, if the Democratic Party actually did something that I was like, you know what, they're pieces of shit, but you know what, they did this, or they tried to do that, or they implemented this, then it would be easier to be like, you know what, okay, I don't like you, but I'll fucking vote for you, whatever. But when, like, they haven't done shit these last 4 years to stop anything that the Trump administration has, because even if, like, let's say they couldn't stop him, they didn't even try. And especially during this pandemic, what have they done aside from, like, ask for money from us during this pandemic? They didn't even, you know what I mean? Like,
they're on vacation just, right now. They're
on fucking without vacation
passing
right now,
like, a reset, like a bill to help folks during, like, right now. It's been like, what, 9 months of COVID? People have been out of work.
Hmm.
No relief except for that one check. They expected
that
us to,
one
yep,
shitty
expected
ass
us to live off a grand for 9 months or whatever.
Yeah. So I just couldn't. Like, and I'm done. You know what I mean? And, like, I don't need to tell anyone why I... I don't owe anyone a fucking explanation, but I'm being real right now about that. Like, it did cross my mind, but I was like, no, I can't. Like, I just... As, like I said, it's not even this ego thing. And I think a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people, you know, have different reasons for not voting and for... But a lot of people are just disillusioned with it. Like, we see the Democratic Party for what they fucking truly are. It's just very exhausting.
Yeah. I didn't vote for him. At the same time, we have to clarify, because bitches are going to be ignorant.
I didn't vote for anybody. I just left it blank. I didn't vote. I couldn't. I fuck with Joe Biden. Fuck the Democratic Party. I voted locally. Of course, I voted for mayor, for city council. Like, I vote. I'm not like... I was going to touch back on what you said about idolizing people, because, you know, I was telling people to vote for the candidate who was running for mayor here in El Paso that I voted for, who was going to be the first Latina mayor. And it wasn't because I was like, oh, she's Latina, I got to support her, because whenever there was the last mayoral election, there was a Latina running and I didn't vote for her because she was trash. So it's not because she's like Latina that I was propping her up. It's because I felt like she was the best choice, you know? But even then, I felt like a lot of people were propping her up as a, you know, someone who's going to come in and save us. And if she comes in, then everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be great. And then, like, I started thinking, like, if she were to win and let's say she implemented something that was wrong for the community, or she did something that I felt we had to respond to, whether protest or going to speak at city council, etc., like, would people... critique her, you know what I mean? Would people actually stand up to her and say, hey, this isn't cool, or we have a problem with this? Or would they be like, oh, you know, she's our friend, like, she's cool, we know her, like, she's, you know what I mean? Because of, like, it was like this AOC thing of the way that people were, like, kind of positioning her as this, like, does that make sense?
Like,
and so that was like one thing.
Dam.
Yeah. And so exactly. And so that was like a thing in the back of my mind always. And it sucks that's the thing, you know, like, I think that we need to look at elected officials as, like, people, they're not our friends. Even if you know them personally, like, as a mayor, as a city council representative, etc., they are not your friend. They are there to serve you. You know what I mean? They're not there, you know, to idolize and to, you know, whatever. It's like, you, if you're in that position, like, you need to be open to critique. I mean, it's more than, like, there shouldn't be presidents and mayors anyway, but you know where I'm going with that. Like, they're not celebrities. They're not even, you know, we can even talk about celebrity culture or whatever, minus Mariah. But there's no reason to fucking idolize politicians, because, you know, at the end of the day, they're not for you. They're not your friend. They're not your savior. Even if Bernie would have won, even if the best candidate that you thought was the best would have won, like, they're still not going to save you. You still need to do work. You still need to fight them, maybe, even. So...
Yeah, what I always say to people as far as politics goes is that I've always kept it real with y'all. Like, when it comes to electoral politics, like, I know that it's fucked. I also know that it can be helpful, right? It can help, like, make the fight not as hard. when it comes to voting, I always say, like, you have to approach voting as if you are in a fight, because we are, and you get to pick your opponent. What opponent can you beat, right? Who do you think you will be able to take on for the next X amount of years, right? Who will be, who can your community take on? And if you, and you have to have an answer for that, right? That is, the politicians are opponents. So always pick one that you know who's ass you can politically beat. So that is all to say that I also didn't vote for Joe Biden. I voted for Gloria LaRiva, who is the Socialist Party. Mm. And just to clarify as well, like, we both don't live in swing states, right? There is no possibility of Joe Biden winning Texas. There was no possibility of Trump winning California. So, because every time I posted, like, you know, I've always been transparent in the fact that I'm not going to vote. I was never going to vote for Joe Biden. Right? And every time people will come sideways at me, I'm just like, I don't see you in, like, you know, Trump voters' comment sections or whatever, or, like, you know, going over your tweets. What was the last time you tweeted a Trump supporter? Like, you didn't. Like, you came to tweet at me and non-voters because you find us an easy target. But you just wasted your time because I live in California, where my vote for Biden would have done jack shit. I voted everything else. For example, in LA County, the big fight here was to get the DA, Jackie Lacey, out of office, right? Because she had been complicit in a lot of the police brutality cases around here, right? So, and we succeeded in getting her out of office. And now Black Lives Matter LA is working with the current one to see, you know, what they're going to implement. And sure, like, that is not a step towards defunding the police, being fucking realistic, but it's also not living under the same fucking, you know, but the past DA that had really committed a lot of violence in this area, right? So shit like that is why I voted. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep, and, you know, as we've mentioned before, like, we're not here to shame people who didn't vote, or we're just talking about our thoughts, our thoughts on COVID. No, oh my God,
that person.
Our, you know. Stop. I feel like we're never gonna let that go, and they probably unfollowed us already because we keep bringing it up.
That was like the funniest shit. Somebody, we were having a live, and somebody was like, what are your thoughts on COVID? And that just cracked us the fuck up, and it just became a thing for us.
Oh my God.
Oh, and Jackie Lacey wasn't the district attorney. She was the attorney general of LA County.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're just, I mean, obviously, you know, me and Ruben are just talking about how we voted or what we feel about voting. If you didn't vote, if you voted third party, if you voted for Biden, we don't give a shit.
If you voted for Trump,
obviously, fuck you. Get the fuck out. But obviously, like, we're not here to shame people for it. We've never told people to vote or not to vote. We've just talked about how we feel about it and been critical of it. But for now, you know, what we've been saying is what we care about is what are we going to do, or what have we been doing? And if you haven't been involved, now is a good time. And obviously, I think, you know, let's be real, with the pandemic, it's hard to organize. I think for a lot of reasons, like, you can't really meet in person, and Zoom calls are so fucking exhausting, and a lot of mutual aid has been happening. Like, organizing is still happening, don't get me wrong. I just feel like it's been hard for a lot of people. You know, people have been out of work. I can't really do much. I've been, you know, at home with my child. Like, depression, there's anxiety, there's, like, so much happening, you know what I mean? If you can get involved somehow, whether obviously that's, like, virtually somehow, by sharing mutual aid links or GoFundMes or Venmos or sharing whatever after the pandemic, like, it's just, like, about getting involved regardless if you voted or didn't vote or if you voted for Biden or not. So, yeah.
We put out a call out for different mutual aid projects because people, that's one of the things that people always ask us, like, well, how can I help, like, how do I get involved? And it's like, our response is always, like, you know, look for your local community organizations, and, you know, look for grassroots people you can support, because I know that's definitely how, you know, I started getting involved. So did you, right? It's always on a local level first. And so we asked people from different communities to reach out to if they work a different grassroots organization. And the first one that I want to bring up is Nuestra Tierra, which is people-focused mission to ensure that border communities have better access to the outdoors and their history. They do that through education, advocacy, and empowerment. And that is in New Mexico. And that is Nuestra Tierra. You can reach them as nuestratierra.org. There's also Dignidad Obrera, Workers' Dignity, which is based in Nashville, Tennessee. And they are a working class-led organization that fights for workers' rights in Nashville, Tennessee. And you can reach them at... They are all over the internet, but their website is workersdignity.org. There's a mutual aid fund in Virginia called the Prince William County Mutual Aid Fund. And they are a community-led service that seeks to connect those in need to people who can lend them a helping hand. Mission is to provide material aid for those in need in the Prince William County, that's in Virginia. And yeah, you can reach them and their site, which is pwc/mutualaid.github.io. That's pwc-mutualaid.github.io. Yeah, and if you have a mutual aid project that you want us to shout out, reach out to us, and you know, we'll put it out there for folks, right? And we're hoping not so much for the big cities, because honestly, in big cities, like in LA, like, no bullshit, if you put like on the Google search or on fucking Instagram, just be like, you know, immigrants' rights, Los Angeles, like, you would find at least five of them. But it's, I think it's a lot harder for the smaller cities, right? Or like the forgotten pockets in you know, throughout the world. So if you belong to one of those smaller pockets and you want a shout out, you know, reach out to us. Or if, you know, you're one of the only orgs in an area that deals with a very specific problem that you think folks would be interested in, reach out to us and we'll give you a shout out.
Yes. And so with that, I think we'll wrap it up here. We talked about, we dropped a lot of shit on y'all, COVID and the election and the Supreme Court, like fucking everything, because we had so, like, I can't believe it's not even, this all happened, the election happened at the beginning of this month.
Oh my God. A full baby was conceived and born in this time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Not the baby, just being pregnant during this whole pandemic. Like, I can't even imagine.
No,
like,
that's why I got
the
abortion.
Oh my God, the stress. And, like, yeah, but on a much lighter note, and it, so it was between Miley Cyrus, technically, and Enrique Iglesias. So, yeah, so maybe.
Why?
Ask me why it came down to Miley Cyrus and Enrique.
Why did it come down to Miley Cyrus and Enrique Iglesias? Tell the children.
Because I'm a fucking senora. Because I told, the only thing I've been doing during this whole situation with COVID is watching novelas from the 90s that I grew up on. And it, you know, like, there's always like the theme song. And I was watching recently Marisol, I just finished. And so the theme song was Enrique Iglesias, Por Amarte. I think it's Por Amarte así. But anyway, it just, it's a lot of nostalgia. And so I started listening to Enrique Iglesias. Also, Experiencia Religiosa is one of my favorite songs ever, period. And so I was like, let's just fucking play Enrique Iglesias. And then I was like,
remember when
they
used to play that at church? And it's like, es una experiencia religiosa.
No,
because
why would they play that at church?
Because people are stupid. And so they were like, yeah, this song about coming is meant for church. Like,
oh my God. Oh my God. It was so funny. I showed my playlist that I made, because I made this, like, Alzheimer's Ruben. I also made this playlist with, like, Enrique Iglesias and Alejandro Fernandez and Bronco, even. Like, girl, COVID has to be fun. But anyway, I showed it to my friends and I was like, this is what I've been listening to. And my friend's like, oh, has COVID made you religious? Because she's never heard this song, Experiencia Religiosa by Enrique Iglesias. And I was like, yeah, it's about how holy pussy is or some shit like that. But she believed me, and she's like, oh, I'm going to listen to it.
She's like, I'm going to support my friend through their newfound Christianity. You have a really supportive friend.
But it's definitely not a religious song about God, but yeah, it's such a good song. I'm sorry, like, it's so fucking good. It moves me. Like, I love it. Even though that lisp, I fuck with it. But anyway, that's why it was going to come down between Enrique Iglesias and Miley Cyrus. Y'all wanted the lispy colonizer or this bitch, and we picked this bitch for now.
This is you can't cancel us because this was Cassandra's COVID speaking. So cancel COVID, please.
Yeah, I'm not okay.
She's literally not okay. Trust her.
And also, it's like, I don't even know what time it is.
It's like
right
2.
Now. It's fucking 2:30 in the morning.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, that reminds me. If you, by the time we get the next episode, we will have merch, probably. And if you're a patron, you're going to get first dibs. It's so because cute. Everything is limited supplies because it's just the way the cookie crumbles. Blah, I can't even say that. Cookie crumbles. Es así como hace la galleta. That's the way the cookie crumbles, so there's limited supplies. Supplies last. We're like a ShamWow. Only here while you have us. Mm-hmm. But we finally have merch, homie. So if you're a patron, if you're a patron.
Yes. We're not even biased. I'm not being biased, y'all. Our merch is so cute. And our patrons have seen it, and they helped us with, like, the design and the colors and stuff. So we definitely listen to, your feedback. But there's some stuff y'all haven't seen, and it's super gay and cute, and it's just
cute. I've been wearing one of the shirts. I
love
a sample.
It. Wow. Because
you got COVID, bitch.
I haven't been. All right.
You want to get
COVID
on your
merch? So keep an eye out for that.
Experiencia religiosa.
Experiencia de COVID.
That's going to be...
The coronavirus. Just
let me name this episode Cassandra has COVID, even though I think that's fucking hilarious.
I hate you. It's so, like, in The Office when they do that thing for Kelly, and then Dwight puts that thing that's like, it is your birthday. Like, that's what that reminds me of, like, Cassandra has COVID. Like, there's nothing, period. It's a statement of fact.
I thought you were going to say when they have the notepads on their forehead and it's like one of them says like Jamaican. Or like one of them has
I love that episode. It's so racist, but I love it. I love that episode. I'm sorry.
What do they tell Mindy?
And Michael Scott is MLK.
What do they tell Mindy? Like, she finally experienced racism or something like that.
She slaps him. Okay. Oh my god. Okay, now we're talking about like nothing.
So you're gonna hear some Enrique Iglesias. I don't know shit about that fool, other than he's not Latino, even though we were fed him.
This isn't a conversation for another day, but I thought everyone was Mexican. I thought everyone who sang in Spanish was Mexican, okay? So I thought this bitch was Mexican. I didn't even know what Spain was. I don't know. I didn't know anything.
I didn't.
Okay?
I don't think
I had
a concept.
A fucking beaner from El Paso. Yeah. Well, that was it. That's it. That's all I knew.
I don't think I had a concept
okay.
of...
But anyway, yeah, we are going to play... We're going to play Enrique Iglesias to honor his Spanish Heritage Month. Because during his Spanish Heritage Month, we played Fiona Apple.
You know, mi hermana Manzana, how dare you? She fought for our rights to make fun of Dolores Huerta.
She threw the first
apple at the grape strike, okay? We're going to...
Okay. I can't breathe now.
Oh
stop.
My god,
okay.
The COVID hit.
So we'll end on Enrique Iglesias then.
All right, y'all. Thank you for joining us. Remember to book us at bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com so we can do Zoom events at your university. And yeah, follow us, share us, tweet us how much you love us. And in that tweet, attach a link to the episode. All right, y'all. Take care. Stay at home if you can. Yes. And much love to all the essential workers.
Send me wishes
yeah,
to get well.
Yeah, send Cassandra a get well wish. Send her a little prayer. Write her a little note in your diary. And just be, I hope my friend Cassandra gets better. Whisper to the spirits. Yes. Ask your Ouija board partner to protect Cassandra.
Okay, yeah, wait.
Cancel COVID. Call out COVID on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, cancel her.
This is a call out to COVID for infecting my friend Cassandra. All right, Joe.
You're canceled, bitch. Your days are done. Straight up. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Before we go, I do want to give a shout out to our I Know Her Level patrons. Thank y'all so much for supporting us. And that would be Yulisa, Yasmin, Vincent C, Vanessa G, Valentina R, Sarah M, Sandra B, Ronnie L, Natasha B, Nancy M, Miguel B, Marisol L, Magdalena, Lisbeth K, Linda Marie, Layla G, Laura R, Kimberly, Karina C, Joel M, Jocelyn D, Jen A, Yasmin R, Jacqueline A, Griselda M, Gianna R, Erika A, Cynthia P, Chrissy J, Clara P, Cassandra G, Bianca, Amy, Alana F, Ames T, and Abigail D, and Aranya. All right, y'all. Y'all are the best. Thank y'all so much for supporting us. All right, take care.